What's going on, investors? Today, I want to talk about an episode that is crucial to your success as an investor, and that is to sift out the difference between what we're seeing in the headlines for news and data and what the actual data is showing us. And I want to get this episode out because I've heard something a lot in our investor circles and even with a lot of investors that I talk to on a day-to-day basis, and something I really want to get ahead of, because if you're working on bad information, it's going to force you to make bad decisions. It's going to force you to sit on your hands. It's going to force you to miss opportunities. It's going to force you to mistime the market when you shouldn't really be trying to time the market anyways. But if you are going to try to time the market, you at least have to have great information to make that decision. So in this episode, I want to talk about the numbers behind this real estate crash that we've been told is coming, that a lot of people are waiting for. So if you are waiting for that real estate crash, those big opportunities, all that blood in the streets for you to come out and capitalize on those opportunities, I want to talk about some of the metrics that are showing us that we are not going to see that crash. And if that's what you're waiting for, just be prepared to wait a whole lot longer than what you might think you'd have to wait for based on what you read in headlines and in news articles. So a few resources came out that wrapped up Q4 of last year that are very interesting pieces. Now, the biggest thing that we look at when people are saying, hey, I'm waiting for that crash, they always think of like the 2008 crash, right? Well, there's a few very, very stark differences from now to 2008. Even if we do end up in a recession, which a lot of people now are saying we won't, but even if we do, that doesn't always mean there's going to be distress in the real estate field or there's going to be this crash that you'll get to capitalize on. So a few things to think about. This is as of Q4 last year. So just a few months back, the number of underwater homes in America that had mortgages on them, which are the ones that would be distressed and the ones that would crash, dropped by 15% just in Q4. So what that means is there's about 2.1% of mortgages have negative equity in them, or just over 1 million homes are underwater currently in the US that have mortgages, which is the vast majority of homes. Now, to give you some perspective, right now we have 1 million homes underwater. Back in the 08 crisis, there were 16 million homes with negative equity. So there is such a stark contrast to distress in the marketplace, specifically within the real estate fields. Now, a big part of this is because the average homeowner over the past year has seen 8.6% gain in equity just in 1 year. So a lot of owners, even if they bought kind of as the market was rising or as an inflated price, they still saw massive appreciation. And so they're not underwater. There's no stress. There's no need to just get this property offer. They can't not afford to make those payments. And even people who lose their jobs, or if we do see a recession, will have a hard time paying their bills. A lot of them are still going to pay that mortgage because most rates, and I mean 78% of rates, are under 5% and fixed for 30 years. So a lot of these people with very, very low interest rates, they're going to do everything they can to maintain that, and they're paying a fixed rate. Another stark contrast in the 08 crisis is rates were floating with balloon payments. So you might sign on a rate that was, you know, 4%, 3%, but 2 or 3 years later, your rate would shoot up to 6% or into the sixes, close to 7%. So in this case, where back in 08, you saw people signing on floating rate loans with balloon payments, and you're seeing them buy with into negative equity, now you're seeing the complete opposite. You're seeing just about nobody is underwater on their homes because there's been such massive price appreciation over the past year. And people are paying very low fixed rate mortgages or fixed rate debt to pay down their mortgages. So I'm not seeing a lot of the signs of that distress. And again, this is really important because we've talked to a lot of investors over the past, you know, 6 to 12 months who are just saying, well, I'm not going to do something now. I'm waiting for the crash. And I understand wanting to wait for opportunity or feeling like certain industries will hit headwinds or tailwinds, but to assume that there's going to be a crash coming because of what we read in headlines, just based on the macro data, just is not true. And a lot of these properties, it's worth mentioning, a lot of these underwater properties, they are likely in neighborhoods that you do not want to invest in anyways. They're the neighborhoods that did not see this price appreciation, whether they're in dangerous areas or they're in local economies that are just not growing or maybe even shrinking. So a lot of times those, great quote unquote opportunities probably are not great opportunities, beyond the numbers. So those are really important distinctions I want to just talk about, because a lot of people out there are waiting, and they're waiting for that crash. And maybe you're waiting for that crash. And I think it's important to analyze the figures and see where the headwinds and the tailwinds are. But when you dive into the real numbers of distress in the marketplace, of a crash, now versus then, it paints this really different story than what you might hear on the news, that there's this impending doom coming down the pipe. Now, where you are seeing opportunities and where a lot of people are getting this distress kind of headline reading from is in a metric called distressed debt. Distressed debt essentially more so is going to be used in the commercial real estate space, where we don't really see those 30-year mortgages like residential houses do. You'll see it's closer to three to, you can get 30 years, but it's much more rare. 3 to 10 is much more common, where they'll say, hey, there's debt coming due this year, meaning it's hitting that maturity, and there is a lot of it that is delinquent and behind or with negative equity. And that is true from a dollar perspective, but when you dive into those numbers, you see a majority of the dollar amount of that distress is in very large office buildings. Very large office buildings are taking the biggest hit. Obviously, work from home is impacting that, and just the size of them is impacting it. When you have these massive properties that start to get delinquent, by a percentage, it eats up a lot of the outstanding debt on the markets right now. So you can advertise and say, hey, 30% of all real estate debt in the commercial space is delinquent or is underwater right now. It could make for a great headline, but really it's just a handful of properties that are making up that enormous delinquency amount or that underwater amount. So when you see things like that, go beyond the headline and see how are they getting that data, because really the news, all they want to do is get clicks and they want to get engagement and they want to get people talking, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's good information for you to make investment decisions on. So if you like episodes like this, you want to learn more about the data of what we look at, how I dive into different newsletters and different news sources where I get my information from, send me a note, would love to connect with you. But we have to, as investors and professional investors, go beyond these headlines and really dive in so that we can make sound data-backed decisions with real macro data, not just headline data.